Bandera.
Welcome back to the Heart Podcast. My name is Jagraj Lali, and I'm pleased to be joined today by the Commissioner of the Pacific Junior Hockey League, Trevor Alto. And Trevor, thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And so we just wanted to start off by, I joined the PGHL halfway through the season this year. I believe December, the second week of December was the time where I really got into the league and everything, joining Steve and Ian. And I've got to say, first of all, it has been an absolute pleasure to have been part about a league that is so rapidly growing at the pace that the PGHL has. And you can really see that the work has been put in by everyone, from the executive team to the teams themselves. It's really a fun league to be a part of.
That's great. Yeah, it's been an excellent year so far, and having broadcasters like yourself who are up and comers and looking to take strides in the business and move up the ladder. It's great to have such quality people.
Indeed. And I just wanted to, you took over back in January of 2020, if I'm not mistaken. So what was it like just getting the opportunity to take your position as you are now?
Well, it was a very different circumstances. I started with the league in January of that year and kind of took the first couple months to kind of take everything in and do a bit of an inventory on where everything was at. And then COVID hit us, and we were a year in COVID and then a year with missed hockey, and then some ups and downs in year two, but we were able to get back on the ice. So it was definitely not a normal introduction.
Not a normal introduction indeed. And just making those adjustments to that COVID year as well, and only having been commissioner for a couple of months, it must have been a challenging time.
Yeah, I think it was a challenging time for everybody in the world, not only in sports, but everything was new. Every day, every week was new. There was no, at times there was no end in sight, and at times there was, and then there wasn't again. So it was very difficult, but I think everybody stuck together very well in difficult times and tried to provide players with the best possible experiences that they could under the circumstances. Unfortunately, we lost a season, but there's not much we can do about that.
Indeed. And to make mention, just as the time as COVID was hitting, I think it's just around the anniversary of the world shutting down is only a couple of days away here at the time of this recording. And at the time, a lot of teams were having great playoff runs. We could make mention the Aldergrove Kodiaks and the North Van Wolfpack were each 8 wins into their respective series as well, right? And for those teams to all of a sudden, not have the end goal in sight of a season in which they had great seasons overall, it must have, as a commissioner, how was it like, adjusting to that?
Yeah, it was very difficult having to cancel the series between North Van and Aldergrove. They were just getting started, and they were in the finals, and they were looking to go to the winner would have gone on to 100 Mile House for the Cyclone Taylor Cup. And that all had to be canceled in very short notice, and was very disappointing for the league and the players and coaches and staff and everybody involved. But again, it was kind of out of everybody's control. And I think everybody stuck together as best they could. And it's kind of in the past now.
Indeed it is. But the following season, the way the PGHL was quickly able to get a system together, having the short time that the league was played in the 2021 season, having the cohort system, how did that all come together?
The cohort system came together through some collaboration with various stakeholders around the province, including Via Sport, BC Hockey, different levels of government and whatnot, and the rules that come in place. So there had to be some creative measures taken place even to get a couple of games in that year. So it wasn't only our league that came up with that. It was kind of a mandate across the province that if you're going to participate, you needed to participate in a safe manner. And we just tried to follow suit. Unfortunately, it only lasted some teams. I think the maximum got about 8 or 9 games that year. But It was difficult, but we tried everything we could.
Indeed, and at the end of the day, that's only you can do. But just taking a look at now, at the present as well, you know, the league seems to be back in full forces. When I first did a game for the Granby Steelers around end October, start November, everyone was starting to talk about the BCHC Prospects game as well. And we know that the PGHL's roster attended that as well. So what was it like, you know, kind of spearheading that and getting the group together this year to represent the PGHL in Kamloops?
Yeah, coming out of COVID, I was having quite a few talks with the commissioner of the KIJHL, the Kootenay International Junior Hockey League, and we wanted to come out of COVID really strong, and have a stronger partnership across the province and partner in different programs. We have a player safety program that we partner on, as well as our prospects game, and we're going to be looking to do a lot more of those things, including some championships coming up. And that was one of the things we put together. The first one took place in Chilliwack, which was a huge success. And after we evaluated what we did, we wanted to step it up a little bit more, and so we took it up to Kamloops, and Kamloops did a phenomenal job this year helping us take that next step. Selecting the team and the staff and everything went really well. I think they both years they did an absolutely excellent job. The hockey on the ice was great. I think the kids were provided with a top-notch experience both in the game and some of the other activities that took place surrounding the event. And we're looking forward to hopefully being able to announce the event next year sometime in the near future.
And like looking back on the PGHL season this year as well, I can definitely say one of my favorite events was the Winter Classic that happened at the end of December, and that was held at Minaru Arena in Richmond, home of the Sockeyes. Just getting all the teams together when in one place, you know, all the executives from each team's together. What's it like having that sort of environment?
It's great. It's a very unique kind of time of year, also being over Christmas, kind of, and all the a lot of people are getting together with their families. Kids are back from school if they've been away. Everybody's kind of hockey crazy with the World Juniors on television, and we're able to get into an arena and have the same arena and every team play two games, and kind of showcase everything that they've done up till then. And it's a great kickoff for our playoff run. As the playoffs begin in middle of February, it's kind of it acts as a bit of a measuring stick where teams can kind of look at where they're at and where they need to get to, compare themselves to other teams across the league, in preparation for the run to the playoffs.
Indeed, and this past offseason with the PGHL, they leveled up to what BC Hockey called Junior A Tier 2. Obviously, the BCHL, they became independent. They went off on their own as well. Was that transition to Tier 2 a difficult one?
It was. We kind of had to look at what junior hockey was in the province with the vacate of the BC Hockey League, and that there was no junior A in the province, and we felt that kids needed to occupy that space and have that opportunity. Obviously, by just making the switch to junior A tier two so late and in the summer, it was very quick. I think teams really needed to grasp what the junior A status meant, and some of the different rules that are in play, and what the championships are, and things like that. And it's an ongoing process. We're still going through it. We're working with the junior A task group that was put together with BC Hockey. We're partnering again with the KIJHL and identifying some of our members who are prepared to put the investment in and take the next step to move to junior A tier one status. And some who are ready to, who are okay with kind of moving forward at the pace that they currently are. So we're excited where things can go, and that now the PGHL and KIJHL both have the opportunity to occupy the Junior A Tier 1 space, and hopefully gain membership into the Canadian Junior Hockey League, and eventually one day be able to send a representative to the Centennial Cup.
Indeed, and you made mention as well that the difference between Junior A and B, you probably know it better than anybody else does, having worked 8 years in the BCHL head office as well.
Yeah, it's a bit different. There's quite a few different rules that are in place when you're under junior A status, and one of the main ones being the number of 20-year-olds in in the junior B landscape, there's an un you can have an unlimited amount of 20-year-olds, and in fact, in some provinces, you're allowed 21-year-olds. Where you move to junior A, you've got a maximum of 6 20-year-olds with no option for 21-year-olds. There's a few on-ice rule changes. There's quite a few different things that are different. There's a lot involved with player transfers from province to province or team to team and whatnot that kind of come into play. So there, it was a bit of a learning curve for a lot of people, but I was fortunate enough to work in the junior A landscape for some time and had some good connections there across the country, which were able to assist us in not only the transition immediately, but in our ongoing transition as we move forward.
The PGHL currently, as well as I made mention, it's constantly evolving. We see some of the arenas and the facilities in play as well. You take a look at the George Preston Rec Center, for example, the home of the Trappers, or that beautiful new facility in Port Coquitlam as well. And I've heard by far that it is one of the most enjoyable facilities in the entire PGHL. Having your teams play in such beautiful places, it's visually attracting to the fans as well, but from a player's perspective, they really enjoy playing there as well.
Yeah, we the new facility in Port Coquitlam, I think really the city of Port Coquitlam really made a statement around the province there of investing in their community and putting together a facility that wasn't it doesn't have 5,000 seats and is like a cavern when you're in there for a game. It really is a perfect size for junior A hockey, and there's additional pads within the facility that can cater the community. It's a bit of a community center. They did a fantastic job, and the technology in the building, I think it's really good. But going forward, I think that's going to be a bit of a focus. It's kind of out of our team's control, the facilities they play in. It really relies on the municipalities that they live in to make an investment in their communities and build some facilities and keep reinvesting them and upgrading them and whatnot. And I think going forward over the next 10, 15 years, I think hopefully what we'll see is a few more communities step up, and whether it's to build a new facility or redevelop one that they're currently in. We're seeing that happen in North Vancouver. Is going to be getting a new arena here shortly. So I think it'll be exciting to see what goes on in the next number of years.
And with Port Coquitlam as well, they had a pretty great expansion year. Not well, it didn't quite show on the stat sheet as well, but the fans were packing the arenas. You know, the morale was at an all-time high as well. How would you assess their first year in the PGHL?
I think it was great. I think they did an excellent job in coming in. They came in pretty quick fashion. We were able to turn around the franchise application fairly quickly, a lot quicker than the one we've just put in and on the Sunshine Coast, who will be joining the league in September. But starting an expansion franchise is no small task. You're basically building a team from scratch and building a brand from scratch. And one of the really exciting things is when you sell an expansion franchise and put one into a new community, seeing the excitement in the community and the buy-in that the community has right from the mayor and the city council, right on down to the fans and minor hockey and everybody. It's not just an endeavor that's taken on by the ownership group. It's an entire community effort it takes to start a team, and to see some of the support they've had in Port Coquitlam and seeing some of the support that they're going to have on the Sunshine Coast. I think it brings a lot of excitement to the league, and now that they've kind of got their feet under them, I think they're going to start working on their position in the standings, and we're excited to see where they can go.
Indeed, and that's something I wanted to touch up on as well with the coastal tsunami. Not often do we see back-to-back years with expansion as well. So what prompted the PGHL to bring the tsunami into the league so quickly?
Well, we've been talking with them on the Sunshine Coast for some time, and the way it all evolved is the league wanted 14 teams to get up to 14 teams, and once we got Chilliwack in as a 13th team, we started looking to add that one more, and the Sunshine Coast just wasn't ready at the time. So we didn't disengage talks. We wanted to keep the door open down the road should something happen. However, when a group came forward for Port Coquitlam with that facility and the ownership group and the community support and the support of the mayor and city council, it was really a no-brainer. It was a community that has had junior hockey in the past, and was ready for it to come back. Their minor hockey's growing. It was just the right fit at the right time, and so we were able to push that application forward a little quicker. As we were kind of in the process of doing that, the Sunshine Coast came back to us with a completely revamped proposal and application with an expanded ownership group, which included Julie Reeves, who's a very prominent businesswoman over on the Sunshine Coast, who was providing enormous support. We decided we'd go and test out the markets. So we went over and played two games before Christmas, two games after Christmas there on the Sunshine Coast, and the building was completely sold out, had huge community support. It was just went off fantastically. And as we started looking a little bit deeper into whether this was sustainable, it was proven fairly quickly that, you know what, this is a place that's ready for it, and they stepped up and showed it. Rather than just a normal application, they actually showed what they could do. And so when the vote came around, it was a 15 team, but we felt it was the right choice at the right time, and we're seeing some of the excitement over there as we go forward, and we're excited to see where they can come in next season.
It'll definitely be exciting to see where they come in next season as well. But we currently have a great playoff season going on as well, with four teams remaining. Obviously, the Chilliwack Jets and the Ridge Meadows Flames, their series is going on. The Delta IceHawks and the Richmond Sockeyes has been a back and forth series like nobody has expected before as well. Have you received feedback on how the hockey is currently being played?
Yeah, I think the feedback is, you just look at the stands, the attendance is way up in the playoffs. Buildings are alive. They're very intense. It's been very, very fast hockey, and it's been the entire playoffs, even for our Survivor Series that we had played. Seeing the series with Grandview and White Rock go a full three games with some overtime, and White Rock being able to advance, and then right up to where we are now, kind of midway through the conference finals here. With a couple of good battles. I know Chilliwack stumbled a little bit here, but I wouldn't count them out just yet. So we're excited to see kind of where this is going to go. We're going to produce two great conference champions, no matter who it is. And I think our finals could be some of the fastest played ever, in this league, in terms of quality of hockey on the ice. And we're looking forward to producing a great champion this year and awarding the Stonehouse Cup. And then, taking that group up to Kimberley to participate in the Mowat Cup, which is the Junior A championship that's been brought back. And I think Kimberley will do a fantastic job. It's a great hockey community up there. They've had junior hockey there for a long, long time. Great support, and I think it'll be a fantastic event.
You talked about the fan support at stands as well. Just looking at the playoffs, and you and I both were at the Ladner Leisure Center this past Sunday as well for game four of Delta and Richmond. And that has to be the most packed I've seen the LLC this season as well. So it truly does speak to you saying how playoff hockey does rise in attendance numbers.
Yeah, it's great to see. It's just it's a whole different environment. It feels like a whole different season. The teams have really earned their way to get there and experience that whole environment and have a chance to win a championship. It's something special. Your junior hockey career is only so long, so any chance that you get to participate in a championship or make a run is a really valuable experience that some of these kids are never going to forget.
Talking about the provincials as well, heading up to the Junior A championship in Kimberley as well, the VIJHL was also a part of this as well, and they all of a sudden, from what we're hearing, have bowed out. So how will the provincials play out then in this case?
No, the VIJHL will still have a representative at the Mowat Cup in Kimberley. They have indicated to us that they're not interested, I guess, going forward in an application to stay in Junior A and might go a different pathway. But for this year, the event will play out as it was originally planned. And then we'll make an evaluation kind of after this one and see if the format is still conducive to what we want, or if we need to make some change on how that championship's played out.
That does lead to my next question as well. With them having a different vision of how they attempt to do things in the future as well, how will this affect junior hockey in BC?
Well, I'm not 100% sure on sort of their plans and what they want to do. Kind of our focus here in the Pacific Junior Hockey League is just to stay concentrated on what we're doing, how we can grow our programs, how we can improve player experience, what our pathway is going forward. We do have the partnership with the KIJHL, and they're doing the same thing. They're kind of looking at their own franchises and looking at their own business models and trying to get their league to the best place they possibly can, and I think that's gonna help us both, that we can focus on what we're doing, and then once we get everything in order and they get everything in order, we can kind of chart a pathway on how we can kind of grow junior hockey in the province together.
Another thing about the Pacific Junior Hockey League as well as the end of season awards. And this season, the competition was so close that the awards could have been anyone's. We take a look at the Goaltender of the Year award awarded to Max Fowle. Thomas Popa of the Richmond Sockeyes had an arguable case as well to win that as well. JJ Paquette, we saw him with North Van, but a lot of other people had great seasons as well. When putting together, I'm guessing, a selection committee for this, how hard is it to choose, who gets the nod?
The awards are all awarded by the teams all nominate a player from their own club or staff member in each category, and then the teams are able to vote on the rest of the league and rank players, and it's done on a weighted scale, and in calculating some of those, it's always a very close race, and especially this year we had some great performances, like as you said, in goal and MVP, as well as some of our most improved players and such. So it's a very difficult thing to do. There's no perfect way to do it, but I think there could probably be multiple award winners in certain categories in some years, but we got to award one, and congratulations to all the players who were able to achieve that this season.
Going forward in the future as well, are there any changes in certain in terms of, branding or any changes in the way that the PJHL runs day-to-day operations going forward into next season? Are you expecting any changes?
Yeah, we're always looking to make advancements going forward, and we're in some talks right now about some of the things that we can do to improve things. We're always looking to improve our broadcast, not only through our broadcasters, but some of our technology that we use. We're really trying to grasp and grow sort of the technology side of the game, and whether that's through player analytics or, like I said, our broadcast, or doing more video and promotion and whatnot. There'll be some new branding that comes out as we move through the Junior A process, and explaining how that all works. And I think it's good. It's a real exciting time here for the PJHL.
It truly is an exciting time to be a part of the PJHL family. And Trevor, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be a part of the PJHL family as well. I've had so much fun this season, and I hope that it can continue to be a developing relationship, a working relationship going forward.
Yeah, thanks very much. We appreciate, as I said, all you guys and the hard work you do kind of behind the scenes, being somewhat of the voice of the league and the teams, and working hard and helping out other teams. And as you mentioned, you worked with Grandview as well as Richmond. It's great to see broadcasters be able to work in different facilities and help out our teams. It's invaluable. This league doesn't run without volunteers, whether it's in building or game night volunteers or people selling tickets or sponsors, and it really takes a huge family in this league to give the players the best experience they can.
Indeed, and talking about game day experience as well, we see some of the ownership groups in the PJHL. They've done a great job getting the community to show up and show out. I know for Doug Patterson and the Richmond Sockeyes, he's done a great job involving the community as well. Every Thursday night, the Minaru Arenas are always packed, and as a commissioner, it probably is a great sight to see.
Yeah, it's hard work. There's a lot of competition here in the Lower Mainland for entertainment, and bringing people to the building can be difficult. We've got the Canucks, who are having an outstanding season, so people obviously want to be at home watching it in high definition and fantastic broadcasts that they do on television and whatnot. But our teams just need to get out and tell their story about who they are in the community and what they're offering, not only for the players on the ice, but some of the fun that can be had each and every night in the building, and that it's a very affordable, high quality experience. And it's a huge credit to a lot of our owners who are out there pounding the pavement and really doing a great job in sharing their message. So we look forward to seeing more of that down the road.
Trevor, I appreciate you so much for taking the time to talk to me today as well. And, you know, I know you have a busy schedule with playoffs going on as well. You know, we have two great series going on, but thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
No problem, Jake. We look forward to talking again in the future.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for tuning into the Heart Podcast today. That was another episode for you. Please make sure to like, subscribe, share, and we'll catch you with the next one. Frequency clear.